Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, May 9th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today is also Missions Monday, so we'll be praying alongside Ruba Abbasi and her ministries in Jordan. Today we're reading from Exodus chapter 34, but as we begin, I want to pray that the Lord will encourage our hearts through His Word. Father, we come to You now as a people united in prayer. We desire that You would work in our hearts and lives through Your Word. Teach us about who You are and help us to cling in dependence upon You and the power of our risen Lord through the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Your name. Amen. Exodus 34, the new stone tablets. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. "Lord," he said, "if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and sin, and take us as your inheritance." Then the Lord said, "I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Do not make any idols. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. The first offspring of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether from herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem all your firstborn sons. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. Celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year, all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land when you go up 3 times each year to appear before the Lord your God. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast, and do not let any of the sacrifice from the Passover festival remain until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This was a long passage, so I can't say much, but I wanted to comment on verse 6 and 7 again. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty." These verses are cited several times throughout the Old Testament, and they're very important to our understanding of God in the New Testament as well. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. But there's this idea of love and justice being paired together, that there is payment for sin, and ultimately that's how we understand the cross of Christ, right? That God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, was able to pay the penalty for our sins. Anyway, I think it's just a really great verse for us to remember. Let's move on to the Psalms. Psalm 132, a song of ascents. O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. He swore an oath to the Lord and made a vow to the Mighty One of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Ja'ar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your saints sing for joy. For the sake of David, your servant, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David, and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but the crown on his head will be resplendent. And now let's move over to the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we'll read the entire chapter 5. The title in my Bible says, Expel the Immoral Brother. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather be filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Wow, that was a very interesting passage. But basically, the church is boasting in the fact that they have a brother within their midst who is doing something that is very immoral. That's what it seems like to me. And what Paul is saying here is that people who sin, this is not expressing our freedom in Christ. This is in fact hurting the gospel. And so if we know of people within the church who are sinning, and it gives a list here, immoral, greedy, swindlers, idolaters, this is not something we should be proud about. In fact, we should deal with the sins within our fellowship. But it's not saying that we should not interact with the world. Paul makes that designation. It reminds me of Jesus our Lord, who ate with tax collectors and sinners, those who knew they needed a doctor. And so as we interact in the world, we should know that those who are not in the church won't have the same moral ethic that we do as believers. But as we interact with them and as we are salt and light and we lead them to the true light and the bread of life, our hope and our goal is that others around us will be drawn to the message of Christ. Let's move forward now to our mission partner. Today, we are again going to talk about Ruba Abbasi. I talked about her last week, but I was a little ahead of myself. But I wanted to mention that the Abbasis will be hosting a special day of prayer on May 10th, and they invite us to join alongside them and the work of Arab Women Today and the Center for Consulting and Training. And so if you want the link to that event, let me know and I'll send it to you. Will you pray with me? Holy Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together around your word. Thank you for the reminder that you are kind and gracious, slow to anger, compassionate. We love you, Lord, and we just want to pray alongside our partners in ministry, Ruba Abbasi and Arab Women Today, and the center that they have for training women. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up women in the area of Jordan and around the Arab world that love you and that take the gospel with them wherever they go. May this be a hope for each of us, that we would be a light and salt in a world around us that seeks darkness. Help us, Lord, we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.